Father helps. Okay, Father always helps you. He has made many promises. You've got to claim them. You've got to be aware of them. You have to be knowledgeable in His promises. Or what? You're treading air, okay? You're pumping wind. So you need to have a real relationship with Him, knowing He loves you. He may not love some of the things you do, but He does love you, and He will always be with you. Never lean on man. You know, our people tried that with the Egyptians, and they always got disappointed. You know, they were like leaning on a reed that just collapses and lets them down when they tried to use it for a staff. So we're going to just kind of go through the Word in a few places, and I think with the birth of Christ at the conception, we'll start today. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. We'll ask our Father for that word of wisdom. And in Luke chapter 1, let's observe His promises. Mary has just conceived. She has rushed to her cousin Elizabeth, who was a Levite, meaning Mary's mother was both of the house of Judah and the house of Levi. And she approached, and as she approached, John leapt in her womb, Elizabeth's womb, that is to say. She was 6 months along. And many statements were made at that time. And let's pick it up, if we may, with Mary speaking in verse 46 of chapter 1, the great book of Luke, the light giver, the medical doctor who was the writer of this gospel, giving us many truths through medical terminology, even in the Greek manuscripts. Verse 46 of chapter 1, and it reads, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." She loved Him. If you want to get in good standing with her Father, do likewise. Respect Him. Trust Him. Magnify Him. I mean, after all, He is your Father. You should have a close personal relationship with Him. He even knows what you're thinking. No one else can do that. Certainly not the devil, but your Father can. So magnify Him, love Him. "And my spirit," Mary continues, "hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden," little Mary here, "for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed," the mother of the Son of God. Okay? Verse 49. "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name." Do you realize that? His sacred name, Yahweh, I am that I am. Verse 50. "And His mercy," that's His unmerited favor, His love, "is on them that fear and revere." The word will translate either. "Him from generation to generation." In other words, that's what He wants from you, is your love. I don't care what generation you're in. He doesn't necessarily want your burnt offerings, certainly. And He doesn't want anything other than your love for Him and to be in His service. 51, "He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And He will do that, you know. Pride is what pulled Satan down, wasn't it? And certainly God's in control, and He has scattered people all over the world. And naturally His promise of gathering through this son that Mary is carrying at this time. Verse 52, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree." He exalts His election, those that see the truth. It doesn't matter what your walk is in life. He elevates you as one that knows the truth, one that He can count on, one that He can use wherever you are. You see, the main time of teaching is yet to come. And it's going to come when God's elect are delivered up and the Holy Spirit actually speaks through them. Until then, preparation, readiness. But that's the great moment in service to the King. A lot of Christians say, well, I just wonder what I can do. Stick around. Okay, stick around. Can God use you? That's up to you. But he would sure like to. When the spurious Messiah appears, he would like for you to be a witness. I don't know. Can you go for that? Do you know that he'll help you? Do you know that he'll even do the talking, as it's written in Mark 13, when you're delivered up before the spurious Messiah, don't premeditate what you will say. The Holy Spirit will speak through you at that moment. In other words, I will help you. Verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree, again the elect. Verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. I don't know, you're hungry for truth? The famine in the end times is for truth, not bread. Amos chapter 8, verse 13. The starvation is for truth, and people are starving for it today. And the rich he has sent away, he has sent empty away. It's according to what you're looking for. You got to know. You know, there is one reason, excuse me, that we saw so many hands from all over this nation. People are searching for truth. They hunger for truth. And there's only one place you can find it, and that's from your Father. Listen carefully now, 54. This is why we came here. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. The Greek will even support, he has taken him by the hand to lead him, whereby he can show his love and mercy. This word holpen kind of falls flat from the Greek antilobin amahe, which means I participate with you. I guarantee, the word is secure. That's a guarantee that I secure you in what you're doing. It's his guarantee of help that he himself participates. Not man, but our Heavenly Father. I will help you in the way that I will participate in your very life in what you're doing, so that I can take you by the hand and lead you, protect you, guide you, secure you, and participate in what you're doing. Do you understand what that really means? When God participates in something, do you think it's going to fail? No, absolutely not, unless he intends it should. That's his choice. But naturally, he helps you sometimes to cause others, your enemies, to fail. His old saying, touch not those that have the seal of God in their forehead. That means this truth in their mind. Why? Satan can't touch them anyway. Why? They're too intelligent for him. They know the truth. So when God says, I hopen, it means I come right in there with you. I participate, and I guarantee you. That's what the word secure means. It's sealed, locked, and put in motion. You can count on it. Man can't make you a promise like that, because man does not have the control over this world that he does. When he makes you that promise, you are blessed. Just as Mary was blessed that she had within her that precious child of God. Verse 55, and he spake to our fathers, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. In other words, it's not a new thing. This is what he's promised Abraham. I'll help you. We'll do it. You can count on it. Antilaban amihi. I'll be with you. I'll participate. And if anything anti comes against you, you can forget it. We will take care of business. Where did he promise this of old? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. The way some people teach our father in this generation, you would think that he's the one that has the pitchfork and the long red-handled underwear and horns trying to go around throwing somebody into hell all the time. That's not his will and that's not his wish. It is his will that all come to repentance if they will. If they don't, hey, have a good trip to hell. It's your choice. But God gets no pleasure from zapping anyone. He wants to help. He wants to participate if you're serving him. Chapter 41, the great book of Isaiah, let's read it. And let's see, we're going to start... Let's pick it up to remain with verse 9, okay? What he's doing here, he's promising, I'm going to stick with you, okay? You want to be careful how you count on other people. Verse 9, chapter 41, Isaiah, and it reads, Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Though, in other words, this is divine help, okay? Divine help that is given by our Father. I don't know, has he chosen you? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? Or do you just kind of float along and things don't quite come to understanding for you? Or do you, can you see what's happening in this world today? It's like just as clear as it can be on the face of people. And so many are confused and misled, and they don't understand the appearance of the spurious Messiah in the near future. They're not prepared because they haven't studied God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to understand the message that our Father has for us, His comfort, His protection, His love. Verse 10, Fear thou not, you don't have to be afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Underline the word help in your mind. It's azur in the Hebrew tongue. And do you know what it means? I will surround you. That wall that he places around you, not the front, not just the back, surround you with help, protect you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you know what the right hand is symbolic of? The strongest hand. God says, my whole right arm, my whole being is there to protect you. When you believe and when you follow me, when you listen to me, when you count on me instead of men. Verse 11. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. It won't do anyone to fight against you because the power of God is with you. When you utilize that common sense and have that faith and trust in Almighty God, that He will protect you. Okay. Man has to fear nothing other than fear itself when God is with you, when He is in you. God loves you. He's not your enemy. He's your Father. Don't ever forget it. To begin to be afraid of Him is to separate yourself from light and move into darkness in your mind, that the cobwebs of ignorance would overtake you and cover you and hide you from His helping arm. Verse 12, Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. They don't amount to a hill of beans. You've got important things to do, beloved, if you're a servant of God. You have a witness that the Holy Spirit must speak, as again, as it is written in Mark 13. He's counting on His election to accomplish that. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand," excuse me, "saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Azure, help, surround you, be with you, strengthen you. Do you understand what that is? That is divine intervention from Almighty God. When you do His work, when you do His will, why? He loves you. When you give yourself to Him, utilizing common sense and always protecting your credibility in your community, is a wise person that can be brave and understand and know and be sure of themselves because God is with them. God carries them. Azure, God surrounds them. Front, back, and sides. They're protected by their Father. Our Father's jealous of you. Don't want anybody messing with His kids. You understand that? You know, somebody that tries to mess with His children are asking for big trouble. That's what He said. They're nothing. You can, if they give you trouble, you may go look for them. Don't worry, I've already taken care of them. You know, your Father's really leveling it down for you here. Saying, I'm around you. I'm in you. I protect you. I love you. Verse 14, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a poor me baby. Fear not. Thou worm Jacob, that worm means weakness. Weak, little weak Jacob. Don't fear. And you men of Israel, I will help thee. Azure, I will surround you. I'll be with you, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Do you know what He's going to do as the end approaches and the threshing, the harvest begins? Verse 15, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. And of course, this has to do with the one Mary was carrying in her womb, Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior, Messiah. When He would speak in Jerusalem, they said, look, Master, look at these temples, look at these buildings, wow. And He said, don't worry. At the very end, there won't be one stone left standing atop another when I cleanse it for the Millennium Temple. And so he will do. And do you understand that He counts on you to assist in that? And does that make you afraid? I would hope not. I would hope to not see any fear because God is with you. He surrounds you. When you utilize common sense and wisdom, for all wisdom comes from Him, He tells you long before, if you read His love letter to you, telling you how you should act, react, and counteract. Verse 16, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. That glory means Shekinah glory. Why? God is there. That's what Shekinah means. How precious our Father, that He is with us. Verse 17, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. I don't know, how much of the living water do you assume, consume? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about He that is the living water. That's Christ. He is the living Word. Have you absorbed it? Do you thirst for it? When you drink of that well, you'll never thirst again when you take in all the inventory in His well. That is to say, that living water of truth. Letting your conscience be stable, wiping out all fear and anxiety, knowing that He's around you and He surrounds you. He secures you. He carries you. And God help those that try to bother you when you're doing His work. Okay? Verse 18, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That truth is going to flow over this earth like water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the tritium, the tree, the myrtle, and the olive tree, oil tree rather, that's the olive. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. You know, the box tree is Tiasha in the Hebrew tongue, and that's what Satan wants to be, a cedar of Lebanon, but he's never anything but an old boxwood. Okay? So I'm going to put them there together. You know, you could say, well, won't they mix it up? Well, let's see. 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. And the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Created that. It's His. And what is He telling you? Don't worry. Don't fear. I'm counting on you. I'm with you. It's going to be fine. 21. He says to those that would not follow Him, if you're not careful, you get a little lost here. The Hebrew is a little more specific. In other words, He says, produce your cause. Let's say, make your case. If you don't go along with God, let's see what you got. Make your case, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. You show me what you got. Bring forth your little whittled idols, the stuff that you worship. Is it an automobile? Is it a boat? Something you really put everything into? A religion that's contrary to mine? Make your case. Bring it on out. Let's look at it. That's what He's saying. This lets you know our Father is not afraid of anything. You got that? Though there's no room for doubt. He's not. He said, bring it on. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things. Let them tell you what happened. What they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. That's to tell us the future also, or declare us things yet for to come. Let your little old whittled idols do that for you. What He's saying is let them wiggle or something. Let's see a little life in them. There is no life in idolatry. The human rock doesn't move. And idol worship doesn't produce. There's only one Heavenly Father, and He helps you. Azure, I'm with you. I surround you. This is why He's saying those other people don't have a prayer. They don't have a chance, okay? But don't underestimate our Father. He's a loving Father. 23, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Tell us. Yea, do good or do evil that we may be dismayed and behold it together, that we can see a little life in you. What He's doing, it's kind of said in irony to somebody that worships something, an organization or something put together by man, they follow it to the point that it's their religion. He said, see what they can do for you. They can't do anything. Man can't do anything on his own without God. Verse 24, behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. You want to stay away from the abomination of desolation. That's the main warning by Jesus in Mark 13. When you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. And, of course, he means the desolator, the spurious Messiah. Then you better be heading out of Judea, okay? It's nothing. I don't know. Do you believe God? I do. And why would you fear something that is nothing? In God's eyes, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And some people just shake at it. Oh, don't rouse them up. That would be politically incorrect. Who cares about politically correct? It's morally correct that counts. Okay? 25. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, that's to say the east, shall he come upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. And of course, this is 137 years in advance of Cyrus's coming. God knows his stuff. He said, I'll tell you something that's going to happen way down the road. I'm bringing Cyrus, and he's going to free my children. And so he did. God's in control. He knows what he's doing. He says that for your benefit, because he's told you, I'm coming back. I'm going to reign. I'm going to help you. And Jesus, God said, I'm going to give him some threshing tools that, I mean, he'll get it in the barn. You can count on it. And Christ will. There won't anyone stand against him. He's got a lot of helpers that he's counting on, too. He's going to sit at the right hand of God until his enemies are made his footstool. Who do you think are going to place his enemies there? You are. Okay. He's going to use his children, the elect. That's why he assures them, you don't have to worry. Now, let's say that you got it into your mind you wanted to trust man, just a little bit, you know. Let's count on them. They did this with Egypt once. Turn back to chapter 31 with me. Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah 31 verse 1 reads, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, to be surrounded, to be protected, and stay on horses. They really count on them. They're, you know, Israel didn't have any horses. Boy, Egypt had them. They, you know, war horses. And trust in chariots. Whoo, man, what an army. Because they are many. And in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They don't know anything about God. Now, you know, stop and think for a moment. I'm going to use an analogy real quickly here. It is true Egypt had great horses, chariots, men, I mean armies. And the Philistines, which were banked down there near Gaza, they had a huge army, and they had a giant. His name was Goliath. Did David have a chariot when he crossed that brook? Did David have on any armor when he crossed that brook? Did David have a great army with him? No, he had God with him, and God alone. There wasn't any of the rest of Israel's army with him. And he reached and took a natural thing, a stone, five smooth stones, and it only took one. And he put it into the head and gave a deadly wound to Goliath, the giant. That lad. He didn't need an army. He had God. And God made his hand true and swift, just as he does his own. Touch not mine anointed. He meant it then and he means it today. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help, Azur, of them that work iniquity. God will go against you if you pull the wrong plug, if you go the wrong way. You haven't got a prayer of a chance of success. I will help defeat them. I will see that it fails. This is why you don't want to drift away from God, okay? Now, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth, the Azura, surrounds, shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Why? They're going against God. Don't count on that kind of help, my friend. That's why I brought you here, to show you an example. Where to seek your help? Don't get it from men. Get your help from God and be a blessing to men, all right? Be one of God's servants, all right? One of his servants for certain. Verse 4. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. He's not going to be afraid. He's not going to hide or make himself small. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. It's the same Mount Zion. The Lord's coming down. Not one stone will be left standing atop another when the Antichrist sets foot in Jerusalem and tries to establish his kingship there. Verse 5, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. He's taken it back. It's his favorite place in the world. As you learn in Ezekiel chapter 16, he wed her. Excuse me, he took her to wife. 6, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. They wronged him. 7, to complete our study here. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Counting, trying to whittle out your own salvation rather than listening to your heavenly Father. God helps. Man cannot help you when you go against God's word. Do you understand what the difference? Men are fantastic. Women are fantastic that serve God. They're great helpers. But they're doing it God's way. That's where the big difference comes in. They pull together as a family. And they do his work. But don't count on man to unite to go against God's plan. You would be wasting your time and bringing ruination upon yourself. When he said, stay away from the abomination, I can't help but think of the time when, as Jesus said, when you see it. When you see what? What Daniel spoke of. Daniel 9:27. In the middle of the week shall come the desolator. Not desolation, that's a condition. But desolator, that's an entity. That's the Antichrist. He stops Holy Communion because they're going to begin taking it to him instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an abomination. That's like putting pig or mouse blood on the altar of God. It's a disgrace. But when that happens, is God still with you when you're delivered up there and all these things take place? Daniel chapter 11, let's turn there a moment. Minor prophets, we've had the king of the north and the king of the south, the forerunners of the Antichrist himself in this 11th chapter of Daniel. And we come up to that place where God's elect began to operate. God begins to use them. They begin to witness. Listen to it. Verse 31 of Daniel chapter 11. You're near the end here. An arm shall stand on his part, that's to say the false one, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. That's Jerusalem. What did God just tell you from the book of Isaiah? I'm going to reclaim Jerusalem. I'm going to take it. And shall take away the daily sacrifice. That means the Holy Communion to the Lord Jesus Christ will be taken away. Why? He takes it for himself, claiming to be Christ, okay? And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. I mean, it's awful to place Satan in the seat of God and worship him. What worse thing could a Christian do? But as it is written, many will, because they haven't been taught that the false one comes at the sixth trump. The true Christ doesn't come until the seventh. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. They don't know what they're doing. They call themselves Christians of the old type. And, you know, let's just bash them. Bash them, Christians everywhere. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's God's elect. Why? Because Azure, God surrounds them, protects them. They don't have to fear anything, not Satan himself. They have power over Satan. 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That's the whole purpose. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame. This means they may stagger every once in a while. It doesn't mean die, so get that out of your head. It means they may hit a wall every once in a while, and they may stagger by captivity and by spoil many days. It's not going to be a short battle overall, and it hasn't been. We've been fighting it a long time, the truth, and how some people have rebelled at it. Some would even say, you're putting me on that the false Christ is coming first. That can't be. It's written. What does that mean when they say that? They haven't read. Okay. They haven't studied God's Word. And if they say they have, guess what? That's an untruth. Verse 34. Now when they shall fall, when they're going to be shaken a little bit, they shall be hoping, Azur. God surrounds them. God protects them. God is with them. God participates. He guarantees with a little help. That's all it takes from him. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Many are going to say, oh, let me have a part of that too. Verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And so it is. We will try to purify, let us teach truth. Could you ever picture yourself doing anything other than teaching truth? By that I mean buying something else that is untrue after you know the Word. That would be like a sow returning to the mire, would it not, and wallowing in it? You wouldn't want to do that. Nobody could hire you to do that. You want the truth. And you want to serve him. And he's going to help you. Azure, surround you. Touch not mine anointed. You know where I'm quoting that from? Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. Don't go down there and try to touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain. Use it. And you know the truth. You know the fake's coming first. There's another time in the same way this group of God's elect. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 to complete this lecture. Romans chapter 8, New Testament. This is talking to saints. Don't let that frighten you. The word saint simply means set aside ones, meaning God's elect. They're set aside from those that are weighted down in deception. Okay? He said, I choose you out to do a certain thing. That's what he's talking about. That's why he would call you a saint set aside. That's why he said back in the Old Testament, I chose you. If you were to read verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, he says, I chose you before the foundations of this earth. Why? Because in the first earth age, you earned it. He doesn't give stuff away for free. Okay, same thought, with helps of God. Chapter 8, the great book of Romans, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. That means guarantees, participates, helps you, surrounds you, fights for you, our infirmities. That's to say our weaknesses. When you got a weak spot, he's going to strengthen you up when you trust him. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's to say a sigh, which cannot be uttered. God knows what he wants, and if you love him enough, he, even though you may not know totally what it is he expects, he will intercede in your life if you trust him and love him enough to help you. And a little help from him goes a long ways. Don't forget the word help in union that with Almighty God that holds you up, strengthens you, protects you, and makes you a winner. Okay? Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, God's elect, the set aside ones, according to the will of God. Not your will, not some man's will, but the will of your Father, Almighty God. He wants to touch you. He wants to be with you. He wants to surround you. Do you think that he feels comfortable with all the power he has seeing you about to get in, do something wrong? That's why he surrounds you and helps you and leads you and guides you through his word, the letter he has written to you. Do you understand there's nobody else like you? Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique because he wanted somebody just like you. Don't let him down. Love him. That's what he wants from you. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not ours. His purpose, his plan of salvation. To save us? No, to save the lost. You're not lost. You're sent to the lost to help them see truth and guide and direct, that God may help them. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, that means from the first earth age, millions of years, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That conception Mary had in her womb at the start of this lecture, that it happened from before. Many people can't take the blinders off and realize that Father destroyed the first earth age, that science is right. The earth is millions of years old. This word of God states it is. It's just that man hasn't read it. But I didn't know. There's no excuse. You can read. This is the letter. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, those he knew he could count on because they fought Satan like tigers in the first earth age at the fall. Then he also called. He can count on them. And whom he called, them he also justified. They were judged there. Therefore, he can intercede in your life and mix it up a little bit because you're already judged. You understand? And whom he justified, judged, them he also glorified. 31, to complete this lecture. What shall we then say to these things? Question. If God be for us, who can be against us? It wouldn't be healthy for them to try, because God is in control. We have the victory. Does that not mean we'll have some bumps? He didn't promise you a rose garden. Did he not say back in the book of Daniel, when the desolator, that's none other than the Antichrist, stands in Jerusalem, you're going to hit some times that's going to cause you to even halt, means to stumble a little bit, okay? Not fall down, but stumble, hard times. But do you love God enough to know he's not going to let you hit the dirt? You're going to win. He's going to bless you. He promised it. I believe it with all my heart that he means exactly what he says, and he says exactly what he means. When he says, I will help you, he's all around you. He secures you. When you do your part, that is to return his love, to be loyal and faithful to him, and to let the idols and Satan worshipers go where they're supposed to. Try to drag as many of them out of the fire as you can. And then after that, it's up to the Lord Himself. We have the victory. God helps us. That's why we have such growth. That's why we're all the way around the world in ministering truth in the Word, is that God helps us. Man can't do it. And if you had to count on man to do it, you'd fall flat on your face. Talk to Him. Ask His help. And go get Him. All right? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of studying Your Word. Thank You, Father, for touching the hearts of the election, Father. Lead, guide, and direct, Father. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
It doesn't mean translating past what it is in whatever language you speak. God said it. That's it. End of story. You know, don't make God's Word complicated. It means He loves His children. Just as the friend hated to see the mother get in trouble and the daughter go bad. You love children. You want to help them. So does our Father. Okay. He doesn't, you know, when you listen to Him, you'll get a lot further down the road. Bessie from Tennessee. Do you have the Goodspeed Apocrypha? Yes, we do. You know, there are certain works, such as the original 1611, that we purchase enough of them that we keep them in print, so that, not as a study Bible, but a Bible where you can read, you can see the original for what it was, but at the same time, there's a letter in the front by the translators to the readers, and they're encouraging you to know they weren't perfect, okay? And to help yourself. But anyway, we try to keep these things in print because they are very important. We do carry the Goodspeed Apocrypha, which is one of a couple of complete apocryphas. The others fall a little short. Shenandoah from Georgia, from California. My daughter is in bondage with alcohol, drugs, and abusive relationships. My grandson has been sorely affected. What can I do to help my grandson besides prayer? Always let him know that you love him, which I'm sure you do, and that he's welcome to be with you, that you enjoy his company. Let him know that he is loved. Drugs and alcohol cause there's spirits in the bottle. And if you take that bottle and empty it into your flesh body, your spirits are going to change. And bad things usually happen from evil spirits. And it's not like God said, take a little. You know, that's not a gallon. A little is not a gallon. Take a little wine for the good of your stomach rather than popping some bunch of pills. And I'm not teaching medicine here, okay? I'm just teaching Scripture. Let him know you're there for him. And he sees that one that has, there's a breath of sanity. A child picks up on this quick, and it will make him desire to be with you, and you can help him in that way because he'll have hardships coming. Dita from Kentucky. In the Bible where it says two are in the field and one will be taken and one will remain, does that mean that one is a Christian and one is a sinner And does it mean that God takes one Christian and leaves the other one behind for tribulation? No, no, no. You know, you've got to learn. This is one reason I recommend the Companion Bible and the outline. What is the subject of Matthew 24? And that's where this person is quoting from. The subject of Matthew 24 is don't let man deceive you. There are many come in my name claiming to be Christian preachers, teaching, and don't be deceived by them. For the false Christ will come first, and some of you will be delivered up to witness before him. And he will take many into his fold. So who's doing the taking? Satan is. That's the subject of the chapter. Not God, Satan. I've heard preachers say, oh, Lord, I want to be the one taken in the field. Well, taken by Satan? How ignorant can you be? How can a preacher be that would teach that and mislead people? It's damaging. You know, the laws of the English language or of literature in any language, pick up the subject. Don't start sticking stuff in. Let this word speak. And it tells you Satan's going to take a lot of people captive. He's coming first, so don't be the first taken. Stay in the field, that's the world, doing God's work until the true Christ returns, and be blessed, okay? Read it and stick with it. Don't throw out all the traditions of men and let God's word speak. Matthew 24, or even a shorter version, Mark chapter 13 will help you with it. And make a note of Luke 21 also, it'll help you. Amanda from Missouri. What does it mean to talk against the Holy Spirit? Probably you're thinking about someone has mentioned the unpardonable sin to you and is speaking against the Holy Spirit. You'll see it in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. It's where God's elect are delivered up. It said, you can say anything you want against the Son of Man, that is to say Christ when he came in the flesh, but whatever you do, when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, don't refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That's the whole plan of God, okay? If you refuse that, and naturally you've got to be somebody, number one, that knows better, meaning you've got to be one of God's elect before you can commit the unpardonable sin. And if you're not one of God's elect, you're excused. You don't have to worry about it. You got enough to worry about besides that. But you'll find it in Luke chapter 12, and I am sure it'll never happen. I know God's elect, and I know some of them almost sin in the opposite direction of saying, well, when I get before Satan, I know what I'm going to tell him. You know, and it's a sin to premeditate what you'll say beforehand. You're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to do it, okay? There will not be one that will commit that sin. They're ready. Kimberly from West Virginia, do you believe that we are the folks who will see the coming of Christ? Well, some of us will, okay? This generation is the generation of the fig tree. Again, Mark chapter 13. Christ said, in that generation, when you see the shoot set out in Jerusalem, that happened in the year of our Lord, 1948, and when Judah returned, and he said, this generation will not pass away until all this prophecy is fulfilled. Nina from South Carolina. My daughter passed away from terminal cancer about 6 months ago. When I first heard she was terminal, I begged God to let me keep her. I had to accept the fact that God loved her more. Then I prayed for God's will in her life, and I did repent for asking him to let her stay. Am I forgiven? I don't distrust God. I just loved her so much. Well, I'm so sorry that you lost your daughter, but it is true. God is putting together an army that's going to return soon. Now, God would not hold that against a grieving mother, okay? Our Father has more compassion than he is so loving and so kind and so understanding that he would not hold that against you for wanting to maintain your daughter's presence. That's just natural, and he created you natural. He's supernatural, meaning he's even more natural. So Don't you worry about that. When God said, do you remember in that last chapter, chapter 33, if we had read on after we said, he said, I get no pleasure from the wicked. He said, when you're judged, I won't even remember what I have forgiven you for. It'll never be brought up to you once you repent. Well, that's what it is. He forgives you, and don't you even worry about it, all right? And look forward. Someday you and the daughter will be back together again with him and from Texas. I have Crohn's disease. If I believe and I'm praying for healing, and I still, am I still supposed to take my medicine, or does that show I don't believe or have faith that God is going to heal me? God, do you understand that Luke was a medical doctor? Okay. He was a physician. God gives different people different gifts. And he created herbs and, let's say, plain old sassafras. Grows in fence rows, and you'd think it was almost useless. It's a blood thinner. Okay. It thins the blood when people have heart problems and so forth. But you hang on to your medication, and you keep praying, and everything will work out fine. God doesn't have anything against those that have the gift of healing. I'm out of time. I wish I had more. I will just say I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. He truly does, okay? And it makes his day. When you make his day, he's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important is this, that you stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.